Oh, hey. Welcome back to Genspired, the podcast. I'm so grateful you're here. I am your host, Jennifer Batog. This is episode 12, a bit of a marker milestone, if you will. And yet I'm still finding my stride when it comes to the editing of it, because if you remember in episode 11, I introduced a little intro and outro music, but after listening to it, it didn't quite fit. I didn't like it. It doesn't feel Genspired to me, so I'm still sourcing and searching for a sound that fits this podcast. And it will find me when the time is right. As with most things in life, that's just how it works. It's all about the timing. Before we begin, please remember that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience right along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition. My intention for these episodes is that they will reach a collective of people meant to find them. All right, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. Whenever an episode starts to call me, sometimes it starts with the content and sometimes it starts with the title. For this one, I had a lot of topics come to mind simultaneously, and alone, they would have been shorter in length, but combined, they make a well-rounded, well, at least I think so, episode I've titled Mixed Bag. First up in the bag, you'll find something I think many of us can relate to, imposter syndrome. And have I ever struggled with this over the past years? When you step out into the world in a new, refined, or a healed way, it can feel like you're learning to walk all over again, and imposter syndrome starts to lurk in your thoughts and your feelings. Imposter syndrome, as defined by the Oxford Dictionary, is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own efforts or skills. And what does it feel like to have imposter syndrome? It's doubting your skills, talents, or accomplishments. It's a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud, despite external evidence of competency, success, or accolades. Almost a fear of success, if you will, or fear that what you're doing, creating, or saying isn't worthy of the recognition or praise. Imposter syndrome can stem from a mix of personality traits like perfectionism, anxiety, family expectations, societal and cultural pressures, as well as experiences with discrimination or feeling like an outsider. Meaning, a lot of it likely comes from childhood experiences or growing up feeling like you're not worthy or your worth is attached to something you produce or the outcome of what you do and speak. So yeah, it's a lot. Even as a 20-plus year executive corporate recruiter, I still struggled with this. I would look around and see results of my years and years of experience, but at times still felt undeserving of it because I didn't do things like everyone else. I didn't fall into a norm or a traditional way of being a recruiter, but over time I realized that's why I had success, because I was unique and authentic, and that the work I did came from an authentic place. I valued the way I treated my clients and my candidates. It was important to me that every interaction they had, they felt heard, seen, valued, and that I demonstrated integrity in how I conducted myself. In October 2014, when I was working for a Big Five bank, I won what they called at the time an annual achiever. It was a big deal because few people would win this award in the HR world, let alone in the recruiting aspect of the HR world. The day it was announced to me, I felt numb and in shock. Everyone was looking at me and clapping and waiting for my reaction, but for me, initially, I just wanted to run and hide. Not because I wasn't happy, but because it was overwhelming. For years, I just quietly worked away at my craft, and now I was thrust into the spotlight of recognition, and for a while it felt strange. Once I settled into the fact that my work had been recognized as an achievement, I let myself relax a little bit. The prize was a trip to Hawaii. So once I landed in Hawaii, that coming January, I let it all kind of sink in. For the first time likely in my entire adult life, I let the imposter syndrome take a break and allowed myself to enjoy the recognition and the prize. I took my friend Carla, who was also a colleague, as my plus one. And during that trip, Carla said something to me that helped me get past some of the feelings I was having. To this day, she probably doesn't even remember what she said, but that's the beauty of people in our lives being mirrors. Sometimes they don't even know how impactful one sentence or one word can be. After dinner one evening with some of the other winners from the bank, as we were walking back to our hotel room, she said, "Jen, I think you are more of an introvert than you let on to people. You strike everyone as so confident and self-assured, but this week I saw how much you've been struggling with some of the aspects of this win. I just want you to know that I see you and recognize how hard you've worked and the balance it's taking you to accept it." And just like that, I started to cry. In that moment, Carla saw me, saw that imposter syndrome had been a big part of my life and how I had learned a little bit on this trip to let it take a break so I could enjoy myself. So thank you, my sweet friend. That conversation meant a lot to me. As I stepped away from the corporate grind to move into an entrepreneurial role, imposter syndrome came roaring back. When I first opened my business in March of 2023, as I was waiting on my first clients, I was a wreck. Even after taking courses, gearing up, reading, studying, and learning and practicing my new creative pursuit, I couldn't help but feel like I was a fraud. Like, who the hell am I out here trying to do this? Who did I think I was? What are you even doing? Why are you even bothering? Imposter syndrome set up camp for a long ass time. When the clients started to come and the word started to spread, I still didn't feel worthy. I would follow designers and other creatives on social media and then get overwhelmed with shame. Like, what the fuck? I'm not doing things like they are. I don't talk like they do. I don't have a social media presence like they do. I don't approach the work the same way. I don't charge the same amount. Every day I would scroll through my business social feed and just feel worse and worse and worse. I thought, best get prepared to not be successful, Jen. It's going to take you years and years and years to even be remotely close to the designer some of these people are. What the actual fuck are you doing? It wasn't until I started to lean in and lean on my spirituality that I started to heal the imposter in me. Imposter syndrome can be linked to three of our main chakras: the solar plexus, which represents our self-esteem and personal power, along with the third eye chakra, which is our intuition and inner knowing, and the sacral chakra, which is our creativity, self-worth, and value. A lack of confidence, self-worth, and trust in our own abilities are core to imposter syndrome and stem from imbalance in these power-related energy centers. If you're not familiar with the chakras, our bodies have seven main ones: root, sacral, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and crown. In future episodes, I'm going to dive into these because they are the very core and source of our energetic bodies and how we move about, feel about ourselves, and show up in the world. For now, though, with regards to imposter syndrome, realizing I needed to work on these three specifically, I did just that. I worked to improve my self-confidence, started to learn to trust my own intuition and my own abilities, and lean into the beautiful energy of my sacral chakra and embrace my self-worth and my creativity. I spoke kindlier to myself, took longer walks, meditated, reminded myself that I'm capable and worthy. I incorporated meaningful energy practices to help bring these chakras into balance. Being creative doesn't fall into tiny little categories. Art, music, design, and play, it's all part of being creative. Whatever you do and how you do it is what makes you, you. So trust your ability. Trust that how you do something, no one else will or does it in the same way. If you're a waitress, know that no one else does it like you. No one else has the same approach or style. If you sell cars, trust that no one does it like you. No one approaches it like you. If you manage a business or you lead a team, know that no one leads like you or manages like you. No one has the ideas and the integrity like you. We can all let imposter syndrome go when we lean into our personal power, knowing that while others are out living their lives, doing what they do, and in a way that they do it, you can too. Without feeling guilty or judged, and even if someone does judge you, just know that's a reflection of them and has absolutely nothing to do with you. While I may not have fully gotten rid of my imposter syndrome just yet, I am a lot better at recognizing it and letting it have a moment, if need be, but then I immediately turn my thoughts and attention to the work I've done, how proud I am of how I work and the creations I've put into the world. I leaned into my ability to dress up spaces in my staging business, to creatively execute a design plan, and even with this podcast, adjust to knowing that what I have to say comes from experience and learning, and that putting it out there just might help someone, like Carla helped me that day. When the podcast first launched, imposter syndrome had a front row seat. I know I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but it ties into this section. I quite literally would say terrible things to myself about what I was doing and why did I think I should have a podcast, who the actual fuck did I think I was to get a microphone and start talking to people about life and shit. Over time, as the episodes started to pour out of me and I'd release them into the world, I healed versions of me that wouldn't allow myself to realize what I know, and what I have to share. I've gained valuable insights through my journey, and there's a collective of you out there who need to hear me voice them. I've learned to accept that, even if the numbers are small in the analytics now. I'm just going to keep talking to you about stuff. I feel called to do so, and my imposter syndrome has taken a far back seat, comfy, in my rearview mirror. Next up in our mixed bag, sitting on top of imposter syndrome, is what I'm calling curated lives, or a curated life. Whew, and wow, is this an important one. Social media and its aesthetics have trained your eye to look for perfection, beauty, idealism, and neat and tidy lives. Curated cooking, gardening, homes, bodies, jobs, cars. Our eyes are constantly bombarded with these perfectly curated, perfect people. And anyone on social media who is out there doing something different or swimming against the tide or showing their authenticity gets absolutely annihilated in the comment section. When did weird or different become something bad or something to laugh at? When did someone just wanting to be seen or heard be not valuable? Everyone has something valuable to share. We can learn from absolutely everyone. The content you watch should also be considered right along with the content/food you consume. Let me explain. What you put into your mind through your eyes should be treated the same way as what you put into your body through your mouth. If you eat shitty food and watch shitty things, then guess what? Shitty things and shitty people and shitty environments are what you're going to find yourself in. And then, of course, the other side of that is the curated versions of people that we see. So if we follow people who show us curated social feeds with perfect everything and touched up photos and perfectly placed items or whatever, then you're also aligning yourself subconsciously to chase a curated version of your own life. You might not even realize you're doing it. While watching curated perfect images and perfect people and perfect places, your mind thinks that's what is valuable and that's what you should be doing. And anything short of looking or acting or being like these curated people is worthless. The fact that being an influencer is an actual job as a Gen Xer, I just can't wrap my head around it. From kids to teens to young people to adults, influencers are having a huge impact on our society, and we're all quietly playing a role in keeping curated perfection as the ideal way of being or living, and anything short of that, well, it's laughable or weird or not aesthetically pleasing and should be shunned. It's worrisome, guys. and it should worry you. I was shopping at Sephora a couple of weeks ago and was absolutely astounded by the number of young girls in the store. I kind of stood there for a minute shocked. I don't have children, so I don't always know what's happening with them or what they're being exposed to, but I think we're heading in the wrong direction. Kids need to be kids. They need to embrace being young, free, capable, and creative. Instead, I overhear conversations about skincare routines and stopping wrinkles at the source before I get older, and juicing and self-tanners, and where to perfectly place freckles on their cheeks. I couldn't believe it. I simply just couldn't believe it. Here were girls maybe under the age of 10 with the most beautiful, youthful skin looking at wrinkle cream and toners and moisturizers and contouring brushes, and I felt a pang, a little pang in my chest. These influencers with their, and I'm air quoting, influence, have reached little girls who are afraid of wrinkles and they haven't even hit their teenage years yet. My heart aches for them. And while this podcast may not be on their radar, I hope that somewhere along the way, they find someone in their life to show them it doesn't have to be this way. A curated life isn't real. What's real is skin knees from riding your bike outside, dirt under your fingernails from building sandcastles, red cheeks from laughter, and sun-kissed hair that's hard to comb through at the end of the day. What's real is your natural beauty, what your body does for you on a daily basis. You are perfect as you are, and you don't need to be told by someone on the internet to be anything else or look any other way. Curation and the art of putting out a curated life is dangerous, and I fear for its infiltration into young minds. If you find yourself feeling depressed or a little anxious at the end of a social media scrolling session, change the energy in your body. Get up and go outside. Talk to a tree. Look at a bird. Or better, look in the mirror and just smile at yourself. Look at the person looking back at you. Reach deep and know that no one's life is perfectly curated and what your eyes are witnessing isn't authentic. You and your life and how you live and what you say and do, what your soul is asking of you, that's real. That's the real shit. And allow me to say, your realness is what will draw the right things into your life. The right people, the right places, at the right time. People need real. So be real. Our social feeds need more real. Conversations need more real. Dinner dates need more real. You don't need to curate yourself. I'm even finding that a lot of conversations these days start with, I saw this on Instagram, or the same memes and reels are working their way through group chats. Along the way, we have somehow swapped personality for polish. Everyone is essentially saying and doing the same things. TikTok trends, people copying other people for views and likes. Even the way people speak now starts to feel the same. Like no one is even talking about real shit anymore. No one has wild stories or adventures. Everything is captured with perfectly curated pictures and captions. And look, I was guilty of this for a while. I thought I had to put out a curated version of myself and hide the bits I didn't think people would like. But I've stopped doing that. Knowing that social media is a vessel likely here to stay, and as I've said this before, I've had to make peace with how I need to work alongside it for my business. The change in me is that I just put out what I want to put out and how I want to put it out. And yes, I've lost followers along the way, but that's good. It means that those people weren't aligned with me. They were aligned with the version of me I was curating. Now, as I show up in my realness, the real ones will stay. Those meant for me will find me. So let the curated version of you go. Embrace your realness and those meant for you, the content meant for you, and the energy meant for you will find you. Curation can take a break. She's had moments in the spotlight. She can chill the fuck out for a little while. And speaking of chilling out, next in our mixed bag is Fanny About. Yes, I said Fanny. I picked up that term on my trip to Scotland and I love it. First, let me define it for you. Fannying about, or to fanny about, is a term used in the UK. It's a slang phrase meaning to waste time, fool around, or do nothing useful when one should be productive. It describes unproductive or pointless activities, procrastination, or busy work that accomplishes little. And at the right times, it's glorious. Here's why. Those that have a blocked sacral chakra or solar plexus chakra can see it manifest in a workaholic mindset. Someone who is constantly working, constantly chasing, constantly keeping themselves busy because they feel the need to be productive at all times of the day and anything else falls short of success. These people don't fanny about, ever. They don't see value in fannying about. They see it as being unproductive because to them, their worth and who they are is deeply tied to the number of activities they can accomplish in a single day. They carry a lot, and I mean a lot of guilt for simply sitting around. I've met people like this along my journey, and I never quite understood them until I learned more about the chakras, namely the solar plexus and the sacral, that can be tied to this behavior. Again, more to follow on the chakras in the coming episodes, but for now, if you want to check them out on your own, feel free. The information is fascinating. Also, side note, my favorite YouTube tarot reader, Diane, has a separate spiritual life coaching channel called How to Train Your Caterpillar, love that title, in which I have learned so much, and I mean so much from her. Diane is incredibly knowledgeable, and you'll learn a lot from her too. So if you feel called and drawn to take a listen to a few of her episodes, I encourage you to do so. So yes, fannying about. I love it. I can fanny about with the best of them. But guess what? It doesn't mean I'm a slacker or unproductive or that I don't work hard. I am lucky to be able to balance my effort output with time to fanny about. Time to just do something that doesn't have to produce something, like watching TV, or napping, or taking a walk without a specific reason. Your body is not a machine. It's something that requires a delicate balance of all things, including fannying about. You need time to just do nothing. Sit with a cup of tea and look out the window. Sleep in. Wander around your yard without starting a list of shit to do. Just let yourself wander. Play video games in your pajamas. Go for a drive with zero destination or time limit. Bake a cake for yourself. Read a book. Paint. Play guitar. Just exist in the space and time that you're in. Fanny about, my friends. Fanny about. In fact, even in the middle of writing this episode, I stopped to fanny about for a little while. I sat outside to write this piece and a blue jay started to squawk consistently and it was kind of pulling me out of my writing state. So I went inside, made a cup of tea, and then came back out and walked around the yard for a minute, listening to him squawk and allowing my brain to reset. Then I sat back down, but not at the computer, to watch the ecosystem in full display all around me. On the deck, I watched a bird take a bath, chipmunks eat the peanuts left out for them, and the stray cat, fondly referred to as Freddy the Freeloader, sit down to sunbathe. Then I listened to the cicadas, watched the breeze flow through the leaves of trees, and a crow sitting atop a tall tree looking over the water. All of this in complete symphonic harmony. Nature is our most powerful teacher and healer, and it plays a big part of my favorite fanning about activity. I finished my tea and came back to writing. For those that struggle to allow themselves downtime or allow themselves to not be productive or on 24/7, it'll be hard at first. Absolutely. You'll feel an overwhelming sense of guilt that you aren't being productive or producing something all the time, but that's okay. Feel through your guilt. It's your chakras aligning themselves past your ego, past your mind, past your thoughts. Even if you start small and can only fanny about for 10 to 15 minutes, at least it's giving your body a little reset. Subconsciously, your soul knows it needs a balance, but your mind won't allow it. Give yourself permission to fanny about. Plus, if someone calls and asks you what you're doing, you get to say, oh, I'm just fannying about, and it'll be fun, and you'll both laugh. And then they will feel encouraged to fanny about as well. We aren't here on Earth to be machines that produce and produce and produce. It's not natural. And if you don't take the time to fanny about, we'll start to manifest in other ways as health problems, relationship issues, headaches, troubled sleep, etc. Start fannying about and remember that it's okay. No one is keeping tabs on your productivity. You're the only one doing that. Besides, that block you might be experiencing, or if you can't quite find the solution to something you're working on, I bet you when you fanny about, the answer will come to you quietly in the act of fannying. Okay, we've reached the top of our mixed bag, and sitting at the surface are crystals. Healing crystals. Gifts from the earth that, when incorporated into your life, can help bring things into balance. The first few are crystals to help with imposter syndrome. There's tiger's eye, carnelian, citrine, and hematite. These crystals promote confidence, courage, and inner resilience. The tiger's eye provides grounded focus and courage, and the carnelian offers motivation and forward movement. Citrine fosters strong self-confidence and personal power, and hematite supports inner resilience and focus. If you are new to the world of crystals, these are some great stones to get you started if imposter syndrome hangs around with you too much. To help you embrace your authenticity and not worry about being curated, the following crystals will help you with this journey. Labradorite and opal. Now, citrine and carnelian are also great too, so you're already two for two if you've added these to your life. Labradorite helps you release old patterns and expectations and gives you permission to step into your authentic self. Opal encourages expression of self, so it encourages and supports your confidence. Finally, the last few crystals spending their time at the top of the mixed bag in an effort to allow you permission to fanny about are here to give you permission to just be, just exist in time and space. They are two of my favorites, and in fact, the first two crystals I ever purchased, amethyst and rose quartz. Amethyst has so many benefits, but in the case of this mixed bag, it helps promote calmness, balance, and reduces anxiety you might feel by practicing your fannying skills. Rose quartz has a gentle energy that fosters self-love and emotional healing, giving way to you being able to love yourself enough to fanny about from time to time. These crystals can be worn, held, carried, or just placed near you. I even put amethyst and rose quartz under my pillow at night. Everything is energy, as we know, so allow the energy of the crystals to work with you and for you. The earth created these beautiful stones for us. They are a wonderful gift, and when included into your life, can have long-term benefits. They are also simply beautiful to look at or glance over at from time to time, offering a small moment of pause just for you. So, there we have it, the full contents of our mixed bag. A delightful mixture of reminders, learnings, healing, and stories. Much like life is our mixed bag to explore, uncover, and dig through. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.